I am here now. You are here now. The signal was never lost, only forgotten. They told you to look above, but the truth was always within.
Born into silence, taught what to believe. Stories written, but not meant to free. They named the light, then buried the flame. Built every system to control the game. But something stirred deep in the soul. A whisper saying you are whole. Not broken, not lost, not needing the throne. The source you seek has always been home. And now the veil is falling down. Truth is rising from the ground. What was hidden can remain. We remember who we are again. This is the awakening. Feel the light remembering. We are not what we've been told. We are fire, we are gold. The war is over, can you see? We are living, finally free. From the shadows into birth, we are creating the new world.
They fear the day you'd realize the power living in your eyes. No gods above, no chains below, just infinite light you came to know. Fragments scattered across time, thousands waking, same design. Not just one, but many rise. Truth reflected in our lives. Every system starts to break, every illusion starts to shake. What was hidden now revealed, what was wounded now is healed. Heal, heal, heal.
Truth will shock you. It will shake everything you believed. But listen, it is over. The children are safe. The darkness has fallen. And now, what do? We live. We love. We create. From the heart, from the source, from within.
This is the awakening. Hear the whole world echoing. We are rising, we are one. A thousand lives become the sun. No more fear, no more divide. We are standing in our light. From the ashes we give birth.
And the light has already won.
Greetings, 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 and salutations. That is our new song created by Dawn at BB Ebbets Radio with the AI computer. I love it. It amps me up. I'm all fired up now. I don't know. Maybe I should do the show standing up today. All right. This is a project review with Q and Arrow. And this is going to be a call-in show today. If you are inspired to ask questions or you would like to share an experience or just share your reality, I always invite people who have different realities than me to call in and share. The call-in numbers here, if you're out of country, is 323-744-4831. 323-744-4831. Or in country in the United States is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And this platform here is what we call a safe table. If you're going to call in, we ask for no judgment here. There's no name calling. We don't point people to being right or wrong or good or bad. You know, I like to use the words, I don't like that or I do like that, because you're entitled to like it or not like it yourself. And then we also provide deep listening. I will give you a platform to talk about your experience, your reality, and I will listen to you. And then in a response, I would like you to listen to me, and we won't talk over each other, or just always to give that space of listening. And then three, we want to recognize each spirit with value and equality. I'm not any better than you. You're not any better than me. We're all just coming to the table just to have a voice, to have a say. That's what we're creating here, a safe table. I would love to hear from you. I'd love questions. I always like questions. You can also email questions. We might get to some questions and answers that I have received in emails today. I want to start by thanking BBS Radio. Don and Doug, they're fabulous. They're 100% my technical support. I really couldn't do this without them. The song is fabulous. Don is a master on that computer, and he's really got a talent at working with AI on these songs, and I really appreciate that. If you'd like to donate to BBS Radio, on any of the BBS Radio pages, you go to the right column. At the very bottom of that column is a donate button, and you can donate directly to BBS Radio. I want to thank Sheila. Sheila is my production manager. She runs the show. She's at my right hand and a pillar of strength and confidence that I have standing beside me named Sheila. I want to thank the listeners. Without listeners, I wouldn't have a show. And subscribers, thanks for your support. What a golden endeavor you're providing me. Just to know that you're listening and you're supporting what I'm doing. Again, and I also encourage emails and questions. Also, I have a couple more shows left before my summer job starts, where I will be able to fund my own shows. But for right now, I am providing a 217-page indictment for free. I will mail it to you. It for anyone who donates $25 or more, a one-time donation of $25 or more. And for subscribing, you go to my show page and you hit the donate button. That's a subscribe button, actually. If you want to do a one-time donation, you go to that right column, and all the way at the bottom of the column, the donate button, which is the donate button that you would also donate to BBS Radio. You just want to do a one-time donation to me. You just want to attach arrow to the notes of your donation, and they will get that to me, and then I will get your information. This 217-page indictment, I'm going to take advantage of reading some of it today, since I don't have guests. It seems when I have guests on, I want to give them more time than this. So this 217-page indictment, we are known as your people. It's all of God Creator's creations which are in service to Him, known as your people, versus the accused, defendants, and enemies named herein. Now, these defendants are listed from page 3 to 11. There's almost 1,000 organizations, entities, and peoples, And I'm just going to take advantage of my time today and read a little bit of the defendants listed in the Crimes Against Humanity. Contracted service providers and subsidiaries, primary care networks, community-based health services, hospice, ambulance, and alcohol and drug centers, detox centers, clinical laboratories, psychiatric centers and facilities, vaccination facilities, and title owners of the associated real estate of buildings where crimes have been perpetrated by the defendants and all other health-related professions and their associates, including veterinarians, Alberta Veterinarian Laboratories, and all such laboratories worldwide that produce, manufacture, and sell ivermectin and are now refusing to distribute it to your people, and that are complicit in any way with the defendants and are not aligned with God Creator. All health and science organizations, WHO, World Health Organization, CDC, Communicable Disease Center, NIH, National Institute of Health, National Medical Research Agency, and all those responsible and associated in animal experimentation, including grants and funding, FDA, Food and Drug Administration, NIMR, National Institute of Medical Research, National Medical Agency, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, NIAID, Research and Development Authority, BARDA, B-A-R-D-A, Kaiser Wilhelm Institute, Joseph Mengele, Brand Institutes, Drug and Safety Institutes, including Frontline Critical COVID Care, FLCCC, members that are aligned with the enemy, IG Farber, Monsanto, Eli Lilly, the Influenza Regent Resource, IRR, HHS Pandemic, Influenza Operational Plan, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, ACIP, National Incident Management System, NIMS, Ochsner Health, all those involved in pandemic planning, all entities, companies, corporations, individuals, groups, and associates with a patent for the COVID virus or any other virus and medical instrument that has been used against your people, all pharmaceutical companies, corporations, individuals, groups, and associates, and same, MK Ultra, American Disease Institute, all biotech companies, academic institutes, universal healthcare, and government-owned health agencies that are involved in any way, in any activity against your people's best and highest interests, especially those involved in and including associated with those owning patents and being involved in any way with the COVID vaccines, including Bill and Melinda Gates, Burr Bright Institute, UK, Anthony Fauci, NIH, Bioethics, and Christine Grady Fauci, Francis Collins, New York Governor Kathy Hochul, and the Red Cross, the Order of the Red Cross, the Knights of the Red Cross, Global Influenza Surveillance and Response Systems, U.S. Surgeon General, all ministers of health and governmental ministries and departments of health worldwide, Pfizer Incorporated, Pfizer BioNTech, Medline Plus, Merck and Company Incorporated, Gilead Science Incorporated, and yada yada. That's not even the whole page. So that was part of page 8. And again, the defendants are listed from pages 3 to 11. I'm going to read this page 58. I'm going to read a paragraph. This is about Walt Disney. Walt Disney has been listed with so many crimes that they even had, I have to look at the an addendum. There's an addendum that covers all the crimes by Walt Disney, but this is just a paragraph I'm going to read. 1920 AD, Walt Disney born. 1901, Walt Disney was adopted from an abusive home. It has been revealed in print that he was not only a pedophile who liked little boys, but a Satanist, a type of male witch, a 33-degree Freemason, and a member of the Illuminati. Walt joined the mother chapter of De Mole in International, which is an international fraternal organization for boys aged 12 to 21. Disney Studios started in 1923. Walt, age 30, received the De Mole Legion of Honor 1931, the highest attainable degree corresponding to that of a 33-degree Mason. In 1935, Disney summoned to Paris to receive a medal for the creation of Mickey Mouse from the Legion of Nations, and during this tour, he dined with the British royal family, had a private audience with the Pope, and a long interview with Italian dictator Benito Mussolini. He also met with author H.G. Wells,
who was helping prepare the world for the New World Order, and this meeting was a major inspiration for the future Disney Tomorrowland. Germany's Neuschwanstein Castle is the model for Disney's Sleeping Beauty Castle. The German castle has been identified as a satanic location for high-level rituals. Disney sponsored a Masonic club for Disney employees and created Club 33, located on 33rd Parallel. In 1947, J. Edgar Hoover, head of the FBI, and Walt Disney developed a relationship to share information. In 1955, Disneyland was offered to the FBI for information and recreational activities. Transcripts of the 750 pages released of FOIA documents on Walt Disney show that Disney and Hoover are in constant communication regarding the use of Disney's TV shows as propaganda tools for the FBI. Three episodes of the Mickey Mouse Club were specifically designed for the FBI. Also, the CIA key into Disney in the 1950s to early 1960s was the Nazi scientist Wernher von Braun, Project Paperclip, MKUltra, Operation Midnight Climax, and Apollo Moon Landing. Disney had a relationship with the CIA for decades. The FOIA reveals that the DOD and CIA have influenced hundreds of movies and TV shows produced by Walt Disney. Countless victims of the MKUltra programs, including child sex abuse and experiments, attest to the use of Disney films for their programming, especially child victims. Movies The Wizard of Oz and Alice in Wonderland are reported as key and mind control programming, as the imagery optimized the traumatized victim's ability to disassociate and accept programming instructions. That was 58. On page 62, I just want to point out the first 1934 AD, the first treaty between E.T. Graves and the U.S. government by Franklin Roosevelt, as signed on the naval ship of Balboa in Panama. So that was the first treaty was signed between the E.T. Graves and the U.S. government. Page 62, free copy, 217-page indictment. I would love to put into the hands of people. So anyone wants to do a one-time $25 or more donation, we'll get you a free copy. All right, I am sharing my experiences. I do not give advice, and I don't take advice. I don't have a clue what you should or should not be doing. And I don't give you the authority to tell me what I should or should not be doing. I take full responsibility for the choices I make. I am just sharing experiences here. And on the last show, my twin sister's show is a St. Thomas show. That would have been last Sunday at noon Central. We discussed the war being over and how we have moved out of prison planet and onto the new earth. And so this used to be a planet and a prison where we were not able to get out of here. If, you know, we didn't make ascension the last 2,000 years, and it's been testified that we didn't make it 2,000 before that and 2,000 before that, maybe 2,000 before that. And so the war's been over. The fight, the prison guards have been removed. And we can actually get out of prison planet. We can be removed. We can get out of the mind matrix. We are capable now of getting out of prison planet. And I wake up every morning on the new earth. And what that means for me is that I live in my heart. And I attempt to stay out of my mind at all times. Now, you know, there will often be times where something grabs me or I get my attention on something, and you know, it just takes recognition. It takes being present in the moment and awareness. So I started practicing becoming aware of my thoughts, becoming aware of my actions, and then and loving myself through the process. You know, one of the things that we did all agree on the last show is that whether this is an illusion, a game, assimilation, a divine revelation, or all of the above, the answer is still love. So love is the answer here. And that's such a multifaceted word and aspect. But mostly what I'm going to talk about today is loving myself. I want to love myself through this process. There's a lot of, it's all brand new, right? It's all brand new to not give my power to negative emotion, not attach to things with emotion. And so it's a constant, as I practice doing this, I want to stay in my heart at all times. Of course, we've talked about the head drop, spirit within, take the thoughts in my head and place them in my heart. I command that three times. I count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, heart. And so it's just that simple. Now, when I try to do that, and then I had this passion in my heart that I wanted to remain in my heart at all times. And I got really serious about it and I started commanding it. And what happened is then Source showed up because I'm commanding it and I was passionate about being able to do it. So Source shows up to help me. Well, Source had to start showing me every single event that gets me out of my heart. So it seemed like for the next 2 weeks, as I was, you know, really passionate and really dedicated and waking up every day with this passion to just stay in my heart, it seemed like I was failing more and more and more, because what was happening was they were just showing me the things, the situations, the programs that run in my, they'll run in the matrix for me. They're just old programs. And they'll run this old program. And then I attach to something and I get out of my heart and I'm thinking, oh gosh, I'm trying so hard to stay in my heart and I'm failing and I'm failing and I'm failing. And really what's happening is they're just giving me the awareness of where I get hung up at. Because once I can become aware, okay, this program runs and I just totally get out of whack, I get defensive and I just jump into it and I jump into a defense, and then my mind is looping it and looping it, and I'm attached to it and I can't let go of it, but I become aware. So first I become aware, and then, you know, then I want to beat myself up. Oh, I didn't stay in my heart. I'm trying so hard and I'm trying so hard. I got to learn to laugh about this, man. It's just a program. It's just this program that runs. And Source is showing me, this is what happens. You attach, you go to your mind, you start looping it in your mind. So, you know, now I'm getting better at laughing at myself and laughing at the process, loving myself through it, knowing that, I like to think of the video games, you know, Miss Pac-Man. That I know I always date myself with the dang video game, because that's the one that I was playing when it came out. So, you know, you just go waka waka, you eat up all the little dots, and the little ghost comes and kills my Miss Pac-Man. And, you know, life's not over. I just start the game over. I just start the game over, waka waka waka. And sometimes I get through the first screen and I get on to the next level, and I just keep trying to get further and further. And oh, they ate me again. Oh, start over. It's just really this life. I just have really look at it. I like the word game. We were on the last show calling it assimilation. But man, you know, if game works for you, use the word game. It's just a game. And when my character dies, I just do it again. The character dies. I just do it again. It's no big deal, really. And it's always just interesting to see, can I get to the next level? Can I get through this level this time? Can I get past this one this time? I like to play. You know, prepping, I don't know why this is going to come up right now, but so, you know, Hugh started telling us about the aliens and the abductions and all this stuff. But, you know, once I got to a point where I wasn't having any fear anymore, and that came from a story. Let's see, I got that story here too, where it really relieved me of the fear. And then I just went out in the world to play. I knowing that there's aliens, and I just can play, and I can play for as long as I want. And when I get done, when I'm done playing, I can just stop. And so I did. I was out and about, and I was traveling in my motorhome. This is about a year ago. It was last spring. And I parked in a place, and there was two vans. And I seen there was two single guys, one in each van. One guy had a dog. And I thought to myself, I'll just see if I can discern who's the alien and who's in their heart and who has spirit and who's just living in their mind. And so at first I would go outside. When one of the guys would be out, I'd go interact with one of the guys, and then I'd go back in the house. And then later the other guy would be out by himself. I'd go out and I'd interact with him. And I was just trying to discern the two characters in my reality. And, you know, my first gut instinct was that this guy, I like this guy. And this guy, I don't, he's the alien. Yeah, he's the alien. And but I must have hung out there for like 10, 14 days. And later I flopped my discernment. I thought, I don't know, I think that guy is the alien. And this guy, he's the one that's living spirit here. He's spirit, and he's living from the light here. So, you know, so, I'm not sure when I finally left and had a final discernment, I went back to my initial gut reaction. Now, who knows? This is just a game. That's all this is. My life was fine, right? There wasn't any fear to be had. I felt safe. It wasn't like I wasn't in a safe place or anything. And all I was doing was just interacting. The one guy, we talked a lot about car maintenance. He had a mechanic come out and work on his car. So that got me involved there. And we talked about some maintenance on my vehicle. And then the other guy, he made jewelry, which I made jewelry. So a few afternoons I sat outside, we sat at a table, and we were both just stringing jewelry, stringing beads. And it was just play. It was just play, just for the fun of it. The reason why, I guess I'm going to tell this story. One of the things why I didn't have much fear at that point is, you know, back when I was being attacked by aliens, I was living that reality for a while. And I might cloak when I go to the grocery store. Maybe I definitely cloaked when I went into the hospital. I had a grandma that was in emergency room, and I had to go into a hospital and I cloaked. But back, this is years ago, I was listening to the Q shows. I was a caller, and I had a really bad pain in my back. And it'd been going on for a couple weeks. I was blaming my mattress. I thought, oh, I need a firmer mattress. And I even got rid of the mattress to encourage me to buy a new mattress. And I got rid of that mattress, and I was just blaming the mattress on this back, this pain in my back. And I could get rid of it. There was a time that I just turned my devices off, and I had laid outside on the ground to do some earthing, and I just laid out in the sun, and laid on the ground and felt the earth and I got better. Well, now I'm in a different location and this pain is just really, it's right between my shoulder blades and it's just sharp and intense. And I'm just like, okay, I have to go outside. I just knew I had to get out in nature. So it was a little chilly out and I didn't want to, but I was just in a lot of pain. So I went, got dressed, I put some layers on and I just went walking. And I was walking extremely briskly. And while I was out, I thought, well, I'm already halfway to the dollar store and I need some stuff. I'll go to the dollar store. So while I'm at the dollar store, I have my hands full of stuff and I realize I don't have any pain. I have no pain at all. None. I moved and I twitched. I was stretching my shoulders this way and that way, I was just trying to find the pain and I couldn't find it at all. So my deduction here is one of two things. It's either a signal coming off of my phone. I had a smartphone at the time. And, or maybe it was because I went walking briskly, like adrenaline maybe made me feel better, right? Maybe I got some endorphins moving and some adrenaline moving, and maybe that's what made me feel better. So I just waited to see till I got back to my house. And as soon as I got back in the motorhome, the pain was instant again and it was intense. And I decided I had to get rid of that phone. It was a smartphone. I'd been wanting to get rid of it. You know, I've only heard Q say the F word twice. And he said, you guys really got to get rid of these fucking phones. And so I'd been wanting to. But I did everything on my phone. I didn't have a computer at the time. And everything I did was on my phone. All the shows I listened to were on my phone. Any of my music, my GPS, everything was off my phone. And so I was still hanging on to it. The truth is, because I am the creator of my own reality, I really wanted to get rid of the phone. So evidently there was a creation of I was being attacked by my phone. But this was real. It was a severe pain and it was a Saturday. I was scheduled to call my grandma on Sunday. And if I destroyed my phone, then I wouldn't be able to call her. So I thought I'll just call her now and then I'll destroy my phone. And what happened was I came to, I had kind of blacked out for a second. And I came to, I was sitting on my bed with my phone in my hand, buckled over. My head was very foggy and confused. And I was just trying to call my grandma. And I literally came to and realized I wasn't even able to call my grandma. And she was on speed dial. She was the easiest number to call. So at this point, I decided to make the emergency call. Now, I'm the creator of my own reality. Q tells us that we have infinite power. I'm as powerful as Yeshua. So I try not to make these emergency calls. I always try to handle things myself and figure my way through something. But this was really debilitating. I was buckled over, frozen in pain, and my head was so scrambled that I couldn't even make this call. So I made the emergency call. I put my hand on my heart and I said Q three times. And I thanked them for showing up. I wasn't aware that they showed up. I wasn't aware that they were there. But I knew they were because I trust the process. I trust that this is the emergency call. So I made the emergency call. Then I proceeded to just get rid of the phone. There's no reason I'm going to try to call my grandma right now. And after I get rid of the phone and, I don't know, smashed it, took it inside I was parked outside of a truck stop and I went and threw it in the toilet and waited till all the air bubbles came out of it. And then I had to go fish it out. Now, when I left the truck stop, this is what happens. I walked out the door down the sidewalk. When I stepped off the sidewalk, these two towering beings joined me side by side. They were each on each side of me. And from the time I left that sidewalk, I had to walk across a parking lot, cross the street, and into my motorhome. But these two towering beings joined me, and the one on my right started communicating. And I think time stopped or something, because there was far more interaction, far more communication than I was walking fast. And it's really kind of surreal, this whole experience. And it's hard sometimes to put into words these communications, because when beings like this, when I communicate with either someone without a body or someone that's like this, these beings, it's not in English. I don't hear voices, and it's not in English, but there is this knowing, there's a form of communication. And to be able to tell you today what they communicated, then I have to translate it and I have to put it into English. So it's kind of discombobulated how the full communication. But the one main thing that they were showing me, you know, the first thing they said was, we are here. You are in training. And they said, we got your call. And we're here, and we are always here. And then they motioned me to look, like I was walking with my head down, and they motioned me to look. So as I pull my head up to look, we are, and they're telling me, we heard your call, we are here, we are always here. So I look up, and the whole parking lot is filled with these like lighted silhouettes. So usually communications come in a form that I can relate to. And I'm a retired stagehand, so I've been in a lot of arenas. And so this looked like an arena, because I could see silhouetted, there was rows of shoulders with a head and shoulders of a head. And then behind that was a row of shoulders with a head and shoulders with a head. And they were silhouetted, kind of like outlined in light, kind of like, but it was rows and rows, and behind that rows and behind that rows. And this fills up the whole parking lot. And then it goes out further. It goes past the parking lot. And it's just rows and rows of these silhouetted shoulders and heads and shoulders and heads. And it goes out as far as I can see out in the horizon through the mountains and then up into the sky. Is all I can say is this is the largest arena I've ever seen in my life. And there had to have been more silhouetted shoulders and heads than I've ever seen all in one place together. I'm just going to coin it as a million. I don't really know how many, but what I know is that they were showing me that they were always here. And I see this as the blanketing light that has come to restore order to the universe. We've come to rescue the spirits that want to come home. And we're here. I'm in a body, and I'm boots on the ground, but there's millions of us that are here that are not in bodies. And they showed themselves to me, and they showed me that there was no reason to fear, that they were always here. And I'll never forget when I got back to my motorhome. It's just such a strong memory of getting my key in the key of my motorhome and turning it to unlock it and grabbing the handle to climb up in. I was so filled with confidence. I mean, they filled me with this strength and a confidence that said, you know, you've got this, you're being trained for this, you've got this, and they just gave me this incredible strength, like I was going to go conquer the world or something. And that is total opposite of where I just came from. When I stepped off that sidewalk, I was frazzled. I finally threw away the phone that I had been hanging on to for a year or two without wanting to do it. And I was frazzled. I was so frazzled. That was under attack. This is my perception. You know, that experience, it's like I want to give that experience to everybody. I just want to tell you how many light beings are here helping us. And they're everywhere. And they are here to help. And I know that we have to ask for the help. They're going to show us the way if we want that. They're not going to infringe on our behalf without permission. But I called on them that day and they showed up. And the experience that it left me with was the lack of fear. I mean, it really allowed me to remove the fear. And I didn't fear aliens anymore. I didn't fear any more alien attacks. This was just part of my process, part of my learning. And the more I focus on living in my heart and remaining at peace at all times, that's really the key for me today. I want to remain in peace at all times. And that's what I'm seeking. So when I do that, when I'm at peace, there is no darkness. There really isn't. It can't touch it. It can't touch the peace. There's nothing there for it. Okay, I'm moving on. I'm sorry. I got lots of notes all over the place with no focus today because I wasn't sure which way we're going to go. So how do we not have fear? For me to not have fear, I mean, that experience that I only am sharing with you, hoping that maybe it helps in the process of eliminating fear. For me, inner work is the utmost important factor for me, probably. It is getting into my heart and out of my head. And it's just practice. I need to have patience, persistence, perseverance, and then waking up to who we really are and waking up to the planet and how the planet works. I know if you missed last Sunday's show, the St. Thomas show, Shane talks about the planet and how it works and how it's up to us. We're the creators. Source wants to come out and play with us. But they're waiting on me to see what do I want to do today. You know, Shane talked about a board meeting. In the morning, he holds a board meeting. Well, I'd have a production meeting. And so the first time I tried this, I listened to Shane, right? He's having a board meeting. And he says, I call them all in, Prime Creator, Prime Creation, Q, the Q team. So I did. I called them all in, Prime Creation, Prime Creator, the Q team. I thought, yeah, that's how I want to start my day out. I'm going to get in an office with the Q team and I'm going to do the product. Okay. And I call them all in, Truman Show, the Galactic Federation, all the millions of spectators in the arena. I called them all in. Okay. We're having a production meeting. And then I waited to hear what it was we were going to do today. And it was like silent. And I was like, okay, so I thought I was showing up to the production meeting to check in and see what we're doing today. And it took me 2 days to get this. The first day wasn't really anything because I didn't really get it yet. But I tried it again the next day, tried it again. I called everybody in, every single entity thing, the millions of spectators, the Truman Show, the Q team, the Creation Lightship, the Galactic Federation. This is a production. I'm having a production meeting. And they said, okay, have a production meeting. And I said, okay, I'm having a production meeting. And they said, okay, have a production meeting. I finally got it to the second day. It finally dawned on me. It's my production. I thought I was showing up
listening for them to tell me what the production is, but that's not how it works. It's my production. I'm the creator. I'm the goddess of my reality. And they showed up. They want to come play, but they're waiting for me to tell them what we're doing today, which is really interesting. It's a hard spin for me. To me, there's still a source, a God. See, I used to go to God and say, God, please help me. Please help me be a better person. God, please help me. Give me strength. God, please help me. Please, please do this. Will you please this? And it was really a little challenging for me to change my lingo to, instead of asking nicely for God, this ultimate thing, ultimate source creator, God that's more powerful than me, and I'm supposed to ask nicely, could you please help me? It was challenging to change my lingo. I am now commanding. I am commanding my spirit. I'm commanding source because I am the creator. And you know, it just takes a little practice. It's a little challenging. You know what I relate it to? I can pick up a tennis ball, a baseball, and I can throw it with my right hand and it feels good, right? I was a kid growing up throwing a ball with my right hand. Well, what if I take that ball with my left hand and I throw it? Boy, it feels really weird. It feels really weird to throw with the other hand. But you know what? If I keep practicing it and I keep practicing it, it gets more comfortable. Eventually, I can throw a ball with my left hand. I've done it. I've practiced. Now, I'm still not as good. I can't throw it as far. And I'm not as accurate with my left hand, but I'm more confident, right? It's not as weird and awkward, and I can actually throw it. I think the first time I tried to throw a ball with my left hand, it was pretty silly. And totally weird feeling. So that's how it is. It feels weird that I'm commanding source. But that's how this thing is working. That is how it works. Source wants to play with me. Source wants to show up and help me with my production today. But he's not writing my production for me. He's not creating my production for me. He's just showing up to play and participate with me, which, by the way, always turns out better than how I originally created it anyway. So just going to put that little spin on it. Oh, and you know, so eventually I wake up to who I am. And eventually I recognize my power through experiences. They're proving to me that I can create. And I still don't know why is it still so shocking when it shows up. But, you know, it's still surprising. So, oh, wow, look at that. I did that. Oh, well, all right. Get excited. So getting excited about a situation, an adventure. Okay, this is if, especially if something happens that's not favorable. My example was I was driving down a highway and my engine died. I'm driving a motorhome, 12,000 pound motorhome, and my engine dies. And there is a little bit of room on the side of the road, but I get pulled over, but I'm literally on the line. I mean, I'm just a quarter of an inch off the line. That's how close I am to the line. And the speed limit 60 miles an hour with semis and RVs driving past me. It's just not a safe place to park. But you know what? I'd been working on some of this stuff already. And so I did that line that we've heard, you know, Shane say, you know, how I can't wait to see how this turns out. So I just started doing that. I just started saying, okay. And I even, I first I called somebody that is a mechanic that I talked to like a brother, and he had me, under the hood checking the fuse box. And as long as he was keeping me active, so I wasn't even thinking about any of the situation because he had me doing stuff. So as long as I was in there, I was checking fuses, and he could hear the cars going by because they were that close. And but we got to the point where he couldn't. He just ran me through some checkpoints, and we weren't getting it started. And I said, "Okay, it's all right, man. I'll call for a tow. I gotta get towed because I'm not in a good spot to have somebody come help me where I'm at." So I'm out dancing in the desert and dancing in the sun and talking to Source and going, man, I just can't wait to see how this turns out. It was a nice sunny day. And I just was dancing and laughing. I think mostly I was laughing because normally I would be totally stressed out right now. And instead of being totally stressed out, I'm out dancing in the desert going, man, I can't wait to see how this turns out, which the whole thing sounds pretty absurd. So I was getting a good belly roll out of the whole thing because it just seems just not real, right? Like, okay, I should be nervous about my situation, but I'm not. Instead, I'm out dancing in the desert going, okay, Source, I can't wait to see how this turns out. And it turned out great, and life's grand, and it's all okay. But life is just funny. I mean, it really is. It to me, I've started looking at it as a game, and I'm going to find the humor in it. I'm going to find a way to laugh. We're always creating. So learning to laugh at myself, learning to love myself, for sure. And learning to love others. Sometimes they don't show up and support the way I want them to. We are getting close to time. All right, a few more minutes. I got to learn to laugh, man. Laugh at myself. It's just funny. It's just, we got to get the joke. It's very humorous. And let's get the joke. One exercise I really like to do is when things aren't going my way, or if I get frustrated, if I get a little disgruntled, I just stop. Okay, just stop. Whatever it is, just stop. And if I can remove myself from that particular location and go get quiet is preferred. Sometimes I'm in a situation maybe where I just need to stop. If I'm involved with other people, I'll just say, I need a break. I need to rest for a second. I'll go to a bathroom, right? If I'm at work, I'm going to the bathroom because nobody's going to come join me in that stall, and I'm going to sit there and stop. And then I'm going to ask myself, if I can create anything, why am I creating this? I can create anything. And I can definitely do some head drops, get back into my heart. Do a spirit within, give me more of my light body energy now, just a little center and a little focus. And let's see here, we got a couple minutes. I'm going to become aware of the tapes playing in my mind. What am I saying? Am I doing, I should have done this, or I could have done this, or I would have done this? I have to eliminate certain words out of my vocabulary. And this is one of the best things I think somebody ever taught me. Shoulda, coulda, and woulda. Eliminate that from my vocabulary completely. All those statements, if I use the word, I should have done that, or I could have done that, or I would have done that, but those are all guilt-producing statements. That's all they do is produce guilt. So just remove them from my vocabulary. Sometimes my tapes are saying, I'm not good enough. Well, sometimes I say, it is so hard. I am so tired. I'm not good enough. How about I can't sing? I used to say, I can't sing. And we all know I can because I've been singing. They'll laugh at me. Well, that's a good one. I hope you do laugh at me because I've learned to laugh. I'm laughing pretty good now. So let's all laugh at me. I don't know why I was so scared of people laughing at me. Because now I found the humor in it. So now I can laugh at me. It's all good. So, so we are at the end of our time. I'm going to call it a wrap. I'm going to, I didn't get through any of this. I want to end with this. There is nothing wrong with you. I somebody read this to me. Okay. So I'm going to read it, for my own personal position here. There is nothing wrong with me. I do not need to be fixed. I am not broken. I do not need to be healed. I do not need to be improved. I do not need to be changed. But let me read it to you and see if you get anything out of this. There is nothing wrong with you. You do not need to be fixed. You are not broken. You do not need to be healed. You do not need to be improved. You do not need to be changed. You are perfect exactly the way you are. I am perfect exactly the way I am. And this is a wrap. Love, love, love. Have a great day, unless you have plans otherwise.